Good day, and welcome to the TGS fourth quarter 2011 results webcast. Today's conference is being recorded, and at this time, I'd like to turn the call over to your host for today, Mr. Robert Hobbs, CEO. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks, Sarah. Hello, and welcome to TGS's fourth quarter 2011 conference call. I'm Robert Hobbs. I'm CEO of TGS, and joining me today on the call is Kristian Johansen, our CFO. Earlier today, we posted our fourth quarter earnings release and our full year 2011 results. As a reminder, we released our 2012 guidance in January, but we've reiterated this guidance and have provided some more color to that guidance in today's presentation. I hope that you've had an opportunity to view that release, and we'll now just give a brief summary of the main points before opening the call to your questions. In the fourth quarter of 2011, TGS had total net revenues of $180.9 million. This is the highest quarterly revenue in the company's history. Q4 revenue was up 2% compared to the same period one year ago. Net multi-client late sales were 3% higher than the same period one year ago, and pre-funding revenues were up 16%, funding 50% of our investments in multi-client products, which totaled $61.1 million for the quarter, 55% higher than one year ago. Our resulting operating profit was $62.7 million, 35% of net revenues, including a non-recurring adjustment of $19.5 million, resulting from a restructuring of an outstanding loan to a customer. Adjusting for this non-recurring item, operating profit was $82.2 million, 45% of net revenues. Earnings per share were $0.43 per share compared to $0.54 per share in the fourth quarter of 2010. At the end of 2011, our backlog was $210.9 million. This is the highest in the history of the company. For the full year 2011, net revenues were $608.6 million, an increase of 7% from 2010. We are pleased to once again have met our annual revenue guidance. Net late sales from the multi-client library after revenue sharing were $419.5 million, up 10% from 2010. In 2011, our operating profit was $240.4 million, or 40% of net revenues. This was up 6% from 2010. Investments in the multi-client library for the full year 2011 were $276.9 million and were 53% pre-funded. This was slightly lower than the guided range for the year, primarily due to delays in commencing a new white azimuth survey in the Gulf of Mexico. Earnings per share in 2011 were $1.65 compared to $1.49 per share in 2010. As of December 31st, 2011, TGS's cash holdings were $335.7 million, up from $290.2 million at the end of 2010. The board of TGS announced this morning that it has decided to propose to the June 2012 annual general meeting a dividend of 6 kroner per share. In addition to the proposed dividend, the board has authorized management to buy back shares in accordance with the Oslo Stock Exchange regulations during the year 2012. Recently published surveys have indicated increases in E&P spending of between 10% and 20% in 2012. Our project developers in the company are identifying projects and pre-funding interest that provides a foundation to a strong, highly visible investment plan. We continue to be convinced that our employees have built the strongest data library in the industry, and we're taking the right actions to add attractive investments to this library. Investment growth in 2012 will be diversified globally with our return to the Gulf of Mexico, where we are providing the latest imaging solutions to customers by combining multiple white azimuth surveys to achieve a much improved image of the subsurface. We are applying our proven unique business model to new geologic plays in the onshore U.S. and new geographic regions like Western Australia and West Africa. To accomplish these objectives, TGS has identified sufficient vessel and land crew capacity. New license rounds, a significant trigger for late sales of TGS's library, have been announced for 2012 in regions of library strength for TGS. We look forward to helping our customers prepare for these rounds. As we stated in our last conference call in January, TGS management guides for 2012 the following. Multi-client investments of $315 to $365 million. Average pre-funding in the range of 50 to 60% of investments. An average annualized multi-client amortization rate in the range of 41 to 47% of net revenues. And net revenues in the range of $700 and $760 million U.S. dollars, of which approximately 5% will be from proprietary contract projects. At this time, we'll open your call for questions. Sarah, if you could please start the Q&A portion, please.
Certainly. Thank you, sir. If you'd like to ask a question at this time, please press the star or asterisk key, followed by the digit 1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you find your question has already been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Once again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We'll now pause for just a moment to assemble the queue. And we'll now move to our first question today from Amy Wong from UBS. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Lots of my questions were answered during the webcast presentation. But just curious, in terms of your contract or proprietary revenues or the other revenues, we know that you don't give a breakdown of profitability between the seismic and the other contract revenues, but could you kind of give us a sense of directionally how things are moving there?
We don't really, as you stated, Amy, we don't really comment on specific product line profitability. I'd say that there's nothing unusual in our Q4 numbers that we've presented than what we've seen in terms of profitability from what we've seen in our product lines in the past. It's remained relatively consistent. So if you're looking at the numbers and looking for potential changes, I don't think there's really any of those. But we don't really do a breakdown, of profitability in any particular product line.
And I think adding to that, Amy, I think you will see that from time to time we do proprietary surveys when we have a vessel available to do that kind of surveys. And I guess there is no secret that we typically do those surveys at relatively good margins because it's not really the core business of TGS.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star 1. We'll now move to our next question from Tom Ackermans from Barclays Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. A couple of questions for me, please. First of all, looking at the Angola survey, it's probably a bit of a different investment than your average project. What sort of pre-funding rates are you expecting on that one, and how aggressively do you think you'll be amortizing that? Secondly, you've given us revenues on the 2011 vintage investment in Q4 of the year. Could you also give us the revenues on this year's vintage for the full year, if possible at all? And then lastly, on the performance of the different vintages, I'm just interested, looking at the numbers, it seems that the 2008 year is not sort of the best investment year you've ever had. Is there any color you can give on that one?
Yeah, okay. So I'll start out and talk about Angola, and I'll give those other questions over to Christian after we talk about Angola. I would characterize Angola as not being an unusual survey in a frontier area. It's a region that's very deep water. It's in West Africa. I mean, we have experience in other countries in West Africa. We do similar surveys like this, and I guess I would characterize it by simply saying that when we conduct a large 3D survey in a frontier region like West Africa, where the license blocks are very large and the potential mix or potential number of customers that will provide a late sales pipeline going forward might be more limited relative to an area like the Gulf of Mexico. Well, in areas where we acquire these frontier larger surveys, we look for higher pre-funding levels. We don't communicate specific pre-funding levels for our projects or even regions, but you know, we sort of guide, you know, that, you know, in an area like West Africa, we're going to be looking for pre-funding, you know, in excess of 70%, and in many cases, in excess of 100%. And so we'll just, I would say Angola is pretty typical of a frontier style 3D project for us. And I'll turn it over to Christian to address your other questions on the library.
Yeah, I think your second question was related to revenues per vintage, and all I can do there is to refer you to slide 13 and 14 in the quarterly presentation. And unfortunately, we don't provide more detailed info on revenues per vintage or per specific vintage than what we do in the quarterly presentation. But I guess what you can do is to summarize the information we give on a quarterly basis, and you will have quite a lot of work to do, but you will also have some information to analyze.
Absolutely. It's just that I was thinking of if you look at the amortization of the 2008 library this year, it's probably close to the actual revenue you booked on that library this year as well. So the contribution of that one to profit just seems a bit weakish maybe, but I'm not sure if there's any specific surveys in there that are underperforming or everything, but...
Well, I guess you can see that the 2008 vintage has, it's still well below the allowed book value at the end of the year. We're down to 13% of its original investment of 258. So it hasn't been a particularly bad vintage, bad selling or slow selling vintage, but... I guess that's something you can follow from quarter to quarter, and you will see that some of the vintages are probably selling better than others, and that's kind of the nature of the business.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Sure. Thanks, Tom.
Thank you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star 1. We'll now move to our next question from Rob Pollin from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks. Just a couple of questions, if I may. First of all, you recently announced a new multi-client survey on U.S. onshore. Does that sort of herald the start of further investment in the U.S. onshore compared to the past? And if so, why? The second question I have is if you can go into a little bit of detail as to exactly why the backlog is so much higher than this time last year and also, obviously, quarter on quarter. And finally, mentioning obviously the share buybacks, if you could maybe go into a little bit of detail about how much you are potentially going to spend buying back shares this year, that would be great. Thanks very much.
Sure, Rob. In regards to the U.S. onshore, you know, we've been looking at the onshore for quite some time. I guess we can go all the way back to 2009. We started seeing signs that many of our customers were looking at. Requiring more seismic data in order for them to efficiently explore these resource plays in the U.S. Now, I think this is a relatively recent sort of effect in that oil companies are now recognizing the value of geophysical information to produce the resource plays, these tight sands and tight shales. And so, you know, it's not something that quickly developed for us. I mean, we've spent some time looking at it and studying it. In fact, we know a lot about the onshore because we have our well-logged data library business, which we've been active in for over 10, 15 years in the onshore. And so we're very close to customers that are exploring there. We saw an opportunity to take our proven our multi-client business model, and I'd apply it into some of these basins in the onshore. Our first project that we announced was the Firestone project, and that's in the Utica play of eastern Ohio. We have, as you stated, Rob, recently announced a new project called Buckland. It's in Kansas, South Kansas. It's in the Mississippi Lime resource play. These surveys are, have similar returns to our other businesses or other seismic businesses globally. I would characterize their financial structure maybe similar to a frontier marine 3D survey where we look for higher pre-funding up front. And the reason for that is you don't, in the onshore U.S., you don't have regular license rounds that are triggered by the government. It's more It's more impacted more on regular farm-ins between oil companies and asset purchases between oil companies, that sort of thing. We see additional opportunity there. We see a lot, further development of shale plays in the U.S., and we see opportunity to apply geophysical technologies to those. I will say that right now we're focusing our efforts to liquids plays in the onshore, and I think that is similar to what our customers are doing too. They're focusing most of their recent exploration to liquids plays versus dry gas plays. Just addressing the backlog, it is at the highest level it's been in the history of the company. That backlog is related primarily to our seismic business. We've seen a lot of growth quarter on quarter sequentially in our seismic commitments. These are commitments to new projects, both occurring right now and ones that will start here in the future. So we are we're pleased to see that, right? It shows that we have a lot of momentum going into 2012 with a lot of customer confidence in our new projects. In terms of the communication from the board on the dividend and share buyback this morning, I think the board would like to keep a stance of being they have communicated, and I believe what you can interpret the communication to be is that they intend to continue a share buyback program. At this point, the board is not communicating the level that they intend to repurchase in 2012. We'll look at that on an ongoing basis, and we'll announce, before we actually go out to the market and purchase shares, per Oslo Bourse regulations, we will announce what our intentions are at that time. But I think in terms of share buybacks, you could probably assume that a buyback program will continue, but we're just not communicating the volume at this point.
Okay, that's very helpful. Thank you.
Thanks, Rob.
Thank you. As a final reminder, ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question today, please press star 1. And it appears we have no further questions at this time, gentlemen.
Okay, great, Sarah. I appreciate it. And thanks, everybody, for listening into the call, and look forward to talking to you after Q1.
Thank you. That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.